We discussed in the previous session about the ways of knowing God, which were, of course, fitrat, the human instinct, and the akal, the intellect, and the wahi, the revelation, which is the most superior way of knowing and learning. And was it clear to everybody? I guess you must also have seen the summary of lecture that was being prepared by some brothers about the previous lectures. Okay, I think they have already provided the summary, and those lectures must be available on the website alasr.org, inshallah. So today the lesson would be about we are going to start the evidences about the existence of God. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah alladhi laysa li-awwaliyyatihi ibtida' wala li-azaliyyatihi inqida' wa anhasarat al-awsafu an kunhi ma'rifatihi wa rada'at 'azamatuhu al-uqul والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد, today's lesson, we're going to talk the first evidence among the six evidences that we would like to discuss, inshallah, in the series of lectures. And like I mentioned in the previous lecture, today we would talk about Burhanun Nazm. Burhane Nazm, that means the evidence regarding the fact that this universe is well organized. Everything of the universe is well organized, well placed, well calculated, and working in a very organized fashion, and this is one of the very interesting and easy to understand evidences about the Creator. We find if a person looks at the world around him, even a very simple way of looking would easily be able to realize that everything is well organized, everything is well placed. And whenever a well organized thing is available, it reveals that there is a nazim. Every nazim is an evidence over the existence of a nazim. Every well-organized thing is an evidence and a proof about the existence of an organizer who has organized it. Because without an organizer, things can never be placed in an organized fashion. an organized way. This is impossible. And every organization and a well-organized thing reveals that there is an organizer and there is a knowledge. There is a knowledge working behind that. There is akal and intellect and reasoning working behind that, which not just there is an organizer, but that organizer is also someone who has reasoning and akal and intellect, and someone who has knowledge. Because without knowledge and without reasoning power and intellect, you wouldn't be able to make something in so organized way like the world is. And let me give you some examples. Look at a tree. In order for our seed to convert into a tree, we find that it requires soil, it requires water, it requires wind to blow, it requires certain level of temperature, and of course we have the photosynthesis process, and all the natural processes and requirements come together, and they help and perform their share for allowing a seed to convert and grow and convert into a tree. And all these preludes, all these initial stages help to their extent for the tree to grow into a full tree. This process is a well-organized, well-defined process, which reveals that there is an organizer which has organized this process. And that organizer has akal and intellect and reasoning and knowledge as well, because without these two major factors, it's unable to organize. And the second point is that every existence around us has its own specific attributes. Look at water. It has its own attributes, how it flows from top to its bottom. What are the attributes of water? Those attributes can never be found in fire. Fire has its own attributes. Wind has its own attributes. Soil has its own attributes. And those attributes do their share in the well organization of this universe, in this earth, to find that everything in this world, in this universe, is well placed and well organized and doing its assigned job from that specific organizer. And following an assigned set of laws which that organizer has set. That is why it continues to have that organization. Whenever the sun rays are required, the sun rays are available according to his best knowledge and wisdom. Whenever the wind is required, the wind blows according to his best knowledge and wisdom. Maybe we know his wisdom or some of his wisdom, so we may not be able, or we may never be able to have access to his wisdom. But it blows according to his own wisdom, and whenever it's wise in his wisdom, and likewise the earth, and likewise the fire, and likewise all the rest of the existences. So, similarly, we find that, so up till now we have already discussed the point that the world around us and the universe around us is well organized. Every organized thing requires an organizer, and every organized thing is a proof that the organizer is having knowledge, and has reasoning and intellect, and that is how he has placed everything according to his wisdom, and is working in that perfect organized fashion, which in his wisdom, it was supposed to be working like that. And this is an evidence about an organizer. Can you expect an illiterate person to type any letter? Somebody who has never gone to any school, can you expect him to type a letter on the computer keypad or on a typewriter in a very correct, perfect way, one page of letter, one page of Word document, for example, without making any mistake? For somebody who has never gone to school, can you expect? Certainly it's impossible. It's impossible to accept that an illiterate person who has never gone to school can type a letter without any mistake perfectly and even type correct sentences even for one single page. It's impossible. How is it possible that the whole world, which is so well organized, every particle of this world is well organized, can be made without an organizer? Can you expect a child of 2.5 years, 3 years of age, to, by just moving his pen randomly on a paper, to write down a very well-planned article, or to draw a very beautiful picture by randomly just moving his hand like this, randomly on the paper? Can you expect that? Is it possible for a three-year-old child who doesn't have that reasoning power, doesn't have that knowledge, to just hold a pen and move his hand like that on the paper, and what at the end of the day we would find a beautiful painting or a beautiful article written on that paper without knowledge and without intellect and reasoning? Is it possible? Certainly it's not. So we find, whenever we find a beautiful article written, beautiful book written, we understand that there is a writer behind that book who has that much level of intellect and knowledge in accordance to his work, in accordance to his book. His book reveals the level of his knowledge as well. His book reveals the level of his reasoning power as well. His understanding power as well. So this universe is a symbol and sign that reveals an organizer, which is God, and it shows that since it is well organized, so the organizer, which is our Lord, has knowledge and intellect and reasoning and wisdom. Whenever a human, doesn't matter he is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, looks at a painting, we always, always, always believe that there is a painter who has painted the painting. Because a beautiful painting, a nice, beautiful, good painting can never come into existence, can never come into being, can never happen without a painter. That's how everybody does. Doesn't matter if a person is a Muslim or non-Muslim, when you look at a painting, you always come to this decision at the end very simply and very easily. It doesn't take long time for you that there is a painter. Even though you may have never seen the painter in your life, but you would still believe that there is a painter. Seeing that painter or not seeing that painter is not the point. The point is that the painting, any good painting, shows that there is a painter behind that. And if it's a better painting, it shows the painter is better, having more of the level of understanding. So every nazm is a proof of the nazim. Every well-organized thing is a proof of an organizer. And the more the work is precise, the more the work is accurate, the more the work is deep, the more the work is having, several aspects and several perspectives, the more it reveals that the Nazim and organizer is likewise much more knowledgeable and deep in his wisdom. This is a very simple analogy. Like I said, an illiterate person can never write an article. In any organized set of sentences, it's impossible for an illiterate person never attending school to write an article, a set of sentences, even a paragraph which is well organized. That's impossible. If you stop by calculating through the, statistics and probability laws, what is the ratio or what is the percentage of probability for an illiterate person to start moving his pen and end up writing a word which really makes sense in a haphazard way? Although he's an illiterate person, he just moves his pen on the paper in a haphazard way, randomly, without knowledge, without literacy, without knowing a language, without knowing how to write a language. Just in the haphazard way, he starts writing, moving his pen on the piece of paper. Let's talk in the terms of probability and statistics laws. How much is the probability for a person to end up in writing one word of the English language in the paper? How many billions and billions of times, in terms of probability, he may have to move his hand on the paper, and possibly he may end up in writing in all those movements in maybe in writing one letter of the English language among those movements, or one word of the English language in those random movements. What to talk of one sentence? That's even a farther, farther, farther probability. Maybe the whole life of a human is not sufficient for an illiterate person to come forward and randomly move his hand and write one article. How is it possible the whole universe, so well organized, can be placed in such an organized way without an organizer who is knowledgeable, wise, and having reasoning and intellect? See what Imam Ali alayhi salam has said. وَهَلْ يَكُونُ بِنَاءٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ بَانٍ أَوْ جِنَايَةٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ جَانٍ? Is it possible to accept that there can be a construction without a constructor? Or a crime without a criminal? See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran, Surah Fussilat, verse number 53. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. We are going to show our signs in the world of creation, in the whole world, in the creation. And inside themselves, وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, so that it becomes clear on them that God is Haqq, that He is Haqq. أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Isn't it sufficient for your Lord that He is Shaheed on everything? Our scholars say in their tafsir, the word Shaheed means Mashhood. That's one of the tafsir performed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Mashhood. Allah is witnessed on everything. Whatever you may see, you see Allah. You get to know Allah through that. See what Imam Ali alayhi salam had said in one of his glorious statements, that when somebody, asked Imam Ali alayhi salam, did you see your Lord? And he replied, Lam a'bud rabban lam arahu. I did not worship a Lord that I did not see. That means I saw and that's how I worshipped. And but then he said, "Walam lam tarahul uyun bi mushahadatil ayan." The eyes, these physical eyes, do not see him with the physical way of vision. Bal ra'athul qulub bi haqa'iqil iman. Instead, the souls, the qulub, the hearts actually see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the realities of the faith. The souls witness God through the realities of the faith. This is the meaning of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had said in another statement that مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا وَرَأَيْتُ اللَّهَ قَبْلَهُ وَبَعْدَهُ وَمَعَهُ. I haven't seen a thing unless I have seen Allah before seeing that thing, after seeing that thing, and along with that thing. So that's what we are learning from the verse of Holy Quran in Surah Fussilat, verse 53. أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. God is witnessed on everything. In other words, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In Surah Zariyat, verse 31, Allah has said that He shows the signs in our lives, inside ourselves. Don't you see? So we find the world is well organized. Allah did not Allah created everything in a very well organized way, which shows His knowledge, intellect, reasoning, understanding, wisdom, power. So organized existence reveals wisdom, knowledge, strength, power, and reasoning, and intellect. I was studying a book about sharks in the library, and they talk about one of the species of sharks, which is found in the deepest point, close to the deepest point on Earth, which is the deepest point on Earth is in the Pacific Ocean, south of the US Guam Islands. There is a Mariana Trench, and inside the Mariana Trench, the deepest point lies there, which is 36,640 feet deep. And that is called the Challenger Deep. In that Mariana Trench, which is the deepest place on Earth in the Pacific Ocean, this book about the sharks was mentioning that there's a species of the shark, very small in size, found only in the Mariana Trench, south of the US Guam Islands. And since the sun rays do not reach that deep and that far deep into the ocean in the Mariana Trench, it's not possible for the sun rays to go that deep, this shark has a light emitting from its forehead, and that's how it can see the parts in the waves and whatever it's around it. Subhanallah, look at the arrangement of God. How Allah has provided these arrangements and made everything in such a well-organized way. Since that place, Mariana Trench, is the habitat of that species of shark, where light does not reach, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided the beautiful arrangement. There's a light coming out of only that species of shark so that it can see the way. It can see what's in front of it and live and survive. This is Burhan and Nazm. This is the evidence of well organization in everything around us. Allah did not provide wings for the elephants. That would be against wisdom. In that case, we may be finding elephants sitting on the rooftops. He did not do so. We find that the ecologists, the experts of the ecosystem, say that everything in our ecosystem is tied to everything else. Please just pay attention to the things that we are learning from different sciences and scientists that help us to understand the same Burhanul Nazm, that everything in this universe is well organized. So the ecologists say that everything in our ecosystem is tied to everything else. Problems on land turn to be problems at sea and problems in the air. Solutions themselves become problems. Whenever the human try to provide certain solutions, their solutions actually, the solutions turn to be the problems. Example number one, you irrigate sufficiently in Saudi Arabian deserts to turn the desert into farmland, or the American West into a farmland, and the same watered and newly rich soil can be salinized and become useless in two generations. You try to provide a solution, you are actually creating a problem. Whether the human understands at the time he was trying to, in his terms, quote unquote, provide a solution, whether he understands he's providing a solution, quote unquote, but whatever he may think, he's disturbing the balance in the creatures which has been created by Allah. Example number two, you turn to the fish farming, our ecologists say, you turn to the fish farming in Iceland because ocean fishing grounds are exhausted already, and you could put an additional strain on arable land. Because farmed fish, when you start the fish farming, the farmed fish eat the feed which has to be produced and made out of grain. And that grain is produced from the arable land. So you are putting an additional strain on the arable land, which does not work. Example number three, you build high stacks to clear the industrial smoke from Ohio River Valley. You build high stacks to clear the industrial smoke from the Ohio River Valley, and you are going to dump deadly acid rain on Quebec's sugar maples. What it is all about? We are disturbing the ecosystem. Brothers and sisters, the human activity is wounding the Earth's ecosystem and extinguishing its creatures, thus causing into the global warming, the ozone depletion, the desertification of the arable lands, and the depletion of the forests. Since 1980 to 1990, in these 10 years, not very far away from now, 8% of the world's tropical forests were destroyed. They were cut off. And now the humans realize that we need to turn to the reforestation and recycling. Everything is well organized. Let's not disturb the well-organized world, which reveals that there's an organizer who has knowledge and wisdom and power and intellect and strength. Everything has been equipped and provided with all what it takes to survive, whenever and wherever and for how long he was assigned to survive in this world. And for as long as God, the Creator, the Organizer, in the best of his wisdom and knowledge, wants that creature to survive. Everything is provided to every creature according to its assigned lifetime and assigned task. You don't need to provide a sweater to the polar bear, do you? You didn't need to provide a pressurized space suit to the Canadian goose, or a shawl, a warm shawl to an or a shawl to an Arabian camel to protect itself from the desert winds and desert storms. You don't need to provide a diving suit to a sea otter, or you don't need to provide a Gore-Tex waterproof breathable clothing to an Antarctic penguin, or an oxygen mask to an ant which has to go deep down into the earth. God has already created everything perfectly according to its needs. Let's imagine a lake, a pond. Our ecologists say that, the scientists say that those birds which are available in any given specific lake, for example, we are not supposed to provide any feed to those birds. Let's suppose there are ducks available in a pond. The humans from outside are not supposed to feed those ducks. You go to the parks, actually it's written on the boards, on the sign reads the same, don't feed the ducks. They are discouraging the visitors to feed the ducks. First of all, by feeding the ducks, if the humans start feeding the ducks, they say it encourages the migrant birds to interrupt their natural pattern and come to this place which is harmful. It causes the density of the population of that category of birds and increases the chance of contracting diseases and parasites. The extra bird droppings in that specific lake or pond, whatever it may be, wherever it may be, those extra droppings of the birds in that specific lake or pond are going to create and cause unsanitation and add nutrients to the lake, which increases in the growth of algae, and it causes the lake decay and the fish death. And besides, the more population of the birds itself causes them to eat more grass available, which is needed for the ground, to cover the ground and to save it from the erosion. It's against the there would be a lack of covered grass covering the ground, which is against the ecosystem. So, brothers and sisters, this is the evidence of Nazm. Every single particle is well organized. We have not just the humans and jinns, but we have the animals and the birds and the fishes and the insects. We have the male and female in every category. We find Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, once he was walking in the haram of Makkah and his foot struck certain stones,
And he said the statement that thank be to Allah who has made you male and female when his foot struck the stone. So we understand from the hadith of Imam Sajjad al-Islam that even the stones have males and females. Whether the humans or the scientists get to know this reality or not, we do not care. It's the lack of human knowledge. What do we know? What we know is almost nothing, because what we don't know is so huge in the amount that what we know is almost nothing as compared to what we don't. Do we have the right to challenge what we don't know? We find that the different existences around us are doing their assigned jobs, which are assigned by Allah to them. So Allah has said in the Holy Quran, Suratul Hijr, verse number 22, وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ لَوَاقِحَ فَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمُوهُ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ لَهُ بِخَازِنِينَ. And we send the winds fertilizing. That means Allah sent the fertilizing winds to fill heavily the clouds with water, and then cause the water to rain down, to descend from the sky, and we give it to you to drink. And it is not you who are the owners of the stores. That is to give water to whom you like, or to withhold it from whom you like. It's Allah. So Allah sent the fertilizing winds. We learn from this verse of Holy Quran, from Surah Al-Hijr, verse 22, that the fertilizing job is also performed by the winds, by the command of Allah. This is part of the Burhan and Nazm, that even the winds are part, they are doing their part and share to make this world well-organized, well-placed, and perform its assigned duty, whatever the duty is assigned to the winds, according to the best of the knowledge and wisdom of God. In another verse of Holy Quran, we find in Surah An-Nahl, Allah has said, وَأَوْحَى, and that is in the verse number 68, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَعْرُشُونَ ثُمَّ كُلِي مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ فَاسْلُكِي سُبُلَ رَبِّكِ ذُلُلًا. This is from verse 68 and part of the verse 69. That Allah has said, and your Lord inspired the bee. Allah sent wahi and revelation or inspiration to the bee, saying, the word wahi is used. Auha rabbuka. And your Lord inspired the bee, saying, take your habitations in the mountains. That means make your houses in the mountains. Make your the places that the bee lives, the bee hives. Take your habitations in the mountains, and in the trees, and in what they erect. Then eat of all the fruits and follow the ways of your Lord made easy for you. So the bees are doing their assigned duty from Allah, which Allah has inspired them with His revelation. Even if you look at a single particle of a universe, even an atom in this universe, every smallest particle and atom of this universe is well organized and working in a very well organized, wise, knowledgeable fashion, performing its assigned duty, and which is a sign of the wisdom of the Creator, the knowledge of the Creator, and the intellect of the Creator. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before we come to the end, Allah has said in Surah Luqman, verse 27, وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. So we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us that if all the trees convert into, if all the trees convert into pens, and they try to write down the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would be unable to write down the creatures. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has well organized this entire world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and by this well organized world we understand that there is an organizer who is all wise, all knowing, all powerful, and has the power of reasoning. وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٌ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Verse number 27 of Surah Luqman. And if all the trees on earth were pens, and the sea were ink to write, with seven seas behind it to add to its supply, in other words, yet the words of Allah would never not be exhausted. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, all wise. And Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that أَتَزْعَمُ أَنَّكَ جِرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ وَفِيكَنْ طَوَى الْعَالَمُ الْأَكْبَرُ. Do you think you are a small body, a small kind of existence only, whereas a bigger world is hidden in your existence? A world bigger than the size of the world around us. A bigger alam and bigger world is hidden in our existence. In Arabic, we have a piece of poetry which has become a proverb. They say that في كل شيء له آية تدل على أنه واحد وفي كل تحريكة وتسكينة له شاهد. In every thing there is a sign that shows that he is one, and in every movement, in every stationary thing, there is an evidence about Allah. Thank you very much.
Is this better? Can I? Okay. I'd like to thank Maulana for the excellent lecture. I learned a lot from listening to it, and I'd like him to please give a literal translation of the term Burhani Nas. I don't recall having heard that. Thank you so much, Maulana.
Okay, brothers and sisters, can you hear me now? Okay, I hope you can hear me now. Okay, alhamdulillah. Oh, alhamdulillah. Yes, brother Ahmed, thank you for your question. Nazm means organization, organized thing, anything to organize certain thing. Burhan means an evidence. Burhan and Nazm means the evidence of organization. That means the evidence of regarding the fact that everything is organized, everything is well placed, well organized, is munazzam, is well organized. Nazm means organization, or to organize the things. And burhan is an Arabic word that we use for evidence. In Arabic, we have different words for evidence, and there is a big difference from, of course, a dalil and a burhan. Dalil is a simple evidence, whereas burhan is a very, very tougher evidence, which is an unshakable, eternal evidence.
So when we say Burhanun Nazam, it translates into an unshakable, eternal evidence. Unshakable, eternal evidence of regarding the organization of the things, that all the things are well organized. I hope it's clear to you. Can you hear me now? Okay. Yeah, I got the question. Thank you for this question. Yes, there are people who try to ascribe and attribute this entire the fact that the whole world and whole universe is well placed and well organized to Mother Nature, and they say this is all about nature. Well, they call it nature. We call it God. Name is not that much a problem. It is a problem as well, but it's not. It's a secondary issue. At least those people will be forced to believe, at the least, that that same Mother Nature has a lot of knowledge. That same Mother Nature is knowledgeable. The same Mother Nature is all powerful to create these things in a well-organized way. And the same Mother Nature is all wise. And the same all Mother Nature is well organized. And such a Mother Nature, which has so huge knowledge, which the humans cannot discover even a bit of this universe yet fully, even a particle of this universe in its entirety and totality, even the same people will be forced to say, if they are justful in their analogies, that the same Mother Nature is so knowledgeable and so powerful and so wise and so well organized. So that's exactly what we want to be proven. That's what they are proving our side of the story. They are proving the human intellect's analogy. So they call it Mother Nature, we call it God. At least they should accept that the same Mother Nature has all those attributes. So it's not just a haphazard way, a big bang that happened. It's a creator which is well organized and well knowledgeable and all wise and all knowing and all powerful. Even the big bang has to be created through something. Which is that something that made the big bang? There has to be something. I think the Mother Nature is, of course, it's used by different people, but usually, this term doesn't sound a statement of a true believer, because a true believer would never do injustice towards the Creator by ascribing the attributes of the Creator to anything. Nature itself is a creation of God. So we cannot ascribe the attributes of Creator to the creations, to the creatures. So this sentence, of course, sounds to be, the sentence shows that it's not a sentence of a believer who believes in the oneness of God, a monotheist. Inshallah, the next week's topics, we are going to talk about the rest of the five evidences. Of course, not all the five in the next lesson, but in the next few upcoming lessons, we are going to talk about, at least some of those five evidences about God. like I mentioned earlier, that we will discuss only six evidences in these lessons. The evidences are way more than that, but we will just stick to six evidences. And the rest of the five are remaining, inshallah, that we would discuss. And after that, maybe after a couple of sessions, then we would come to the discussion of evidence regarding the oneness of God. Because right now we are talking about these six evidences about the existence of God, that there is a God. And then we would talk about the concept of one God, that existent God is one, which we would mention, inshallah, later on. And then later on it comes to the sifat and